grateful. Lord, to see how you work in the lives of people, in families, multi-generations, and people perhaps that are the first in their own family to come to know you in a powerful way. Lord, today is a day that we celebrate your work. You are relentlessly calling your people home. And we get to see that when we get to participate in baptisms and rededications and all the things that we are doing here today, memberships. Lord, what we're seeing in a sense is we're seeing that play out in a powerful way. So Lord, would you just bless our time here today? Would you encourage us? And I know that you are overjoyed at these things. I know your word says how much joy it gives you when people come into the kingdom. And so, Lord, share that joy with us here today. Bubble it from within us and spill it all over us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome, visitors. Glad you're here today. My name is Steve Harima. I'm the senior pastor here at The Way, and I don't normally get to preach in sweatpants. But when I can, I will. So glad you're here. I want to begin by asking you a question. I want you to think of what is probably, you think about a story that you love, or maybe it's a movie that you've seen that just kind of gets you deep down inside, kind of moves you in a powerful way. What if you could summarize the plot of such movies or stories? You kind of see that they have a lot in common. There's kind of key points to every great story that makes it a great story. And for example, there's a bad guy. There's a good guy. There is a situation where it's like, well, I don't know how this is going to go, and there's this struggle, and in the end, good triumphs over evil, right? And there's this tremendous celebration. Those are the best stories, aren't they? You think, you kind of break them down, and every so often they come out with stories that you walk away, they're kind of dark, and it has a sad ending, and you're like, why did I waste my time with that? I want to see joy at the end. Why does this story resonate with us? Because this is God's story. God is, we're participating in this battle. We are in this place, and God is good, and we are fighting this fight that to us seems like, are we going to win? This week was hard. There's a lot of things going on. Man, this the last month of my last year of my life has been so tough, and it feels like, I think if there's a battle, I think I'm losing it. And every so often we have to be reminded that we are winning the battle. I was watching this movie this week, and it's kind of funny. Obviously, I'm kind of a softy sometimes when the Spirit moves me, but I never cry at movies, except there's certain types of movie that will get me. And I watched one of those movies this week, and it was about Winston Churchill called The Darkest Hour. Anybody seen that movie? Solidarity, brother. So anyway, this was about the beginning of, essentially the beginning of World War II, and they were at this point where the British were really the last people in Europe, that Hitler had moved across. He'd violated every peace treaty. He was moving across Europe. He had taken over France. And so so here you had Great Britain. And of course, America wasn't quite ready to step into it yet. And so it seemed like for all intents and purposes in 1940 that Great Britain was going to have to do this battle alone. And Winston Churchill was named prime minister, and he was it kind of follows him through this whole process of what are we going to do? Because a lot of people are telling him, you need to sign a treaty with Hitler. And he's like, why sign a treaty with Hitler? This is a battle against evil. And it's going back and forth. And I don't want to give it away, although it did happen a long time ago. And if you don't know the whole story, I'm sorry. But Anyway, you might want to go back to school if you're done with school, if you don't know the story. But anyway, so it gets to this climactic moment where everybody, you know, we got all this pressure on Churchill, and Churchill, he actually, in the movie, he goes and he rides on the subway and he talks to the people. And he says to the people, "What do you think we should do?" And they said, "We should fight. We'll fight him with broom handles if we have to." And so then he goes to the House of Commons and he's standing there. And that's when he gives that world famous speech where he says, we will fight him in the seas. We will fight him on the beaches. We will never surrender. And the whole House of Commons just, yeah. Of course, here's me going, oh, yeah, yeah. But why is that such a good story? Because it plays out all the time. All the time. And what we get to do is occasionally we get to be in those moments where we see it and we get to just, yay, yay. Today is one of those moments. Today is one of those moments when we see families, multi-generational families of faith that are coming up here and they're saying, you know what? We want to pass on our faith to our children and we want to continue the covenant that God has made with us through the generations. And then we see people that, you know, they're here professing their faith in Jesus Christ and they have been born again. They're born again believers and they are saying that God's won. In my life, God has won. And so this is this picture that we have, but what I think is most important is that you experience joy. You know, life can be kind of hard, right? I mean, anybody thrilled that we got our first winter storm of the year? You know, although I will say that when I was sitting at home, so Vicky and I got hunkered down Friday night when all the bad stuff was going on outside. You know, it was nice, warm, and comfy, and there's something satisfying about knowing you don't have to go back out in it until the next day. But still, I mean, it's just kind of how it is. So life always throws us things, and life can be so hard. But in the midst of this, we have to find moments to rejoice. And we have to remind ourselves what's going on in the world. And what's going on in the world is we have a God that is calling his people to go out and tell the gospel and to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I just share one thing with you just a little bit? Can I tell you that one of the things that I struggle with, there's a lot of churches today that don't do this. And that's unfortunate. And I can tell you that a lot of churches that don't experience baptisms struggle with joy. And that's too bad. But it is what it is. Somewhere along the line, people start caring way more about themselves than they do about what God wants to do. One of the last things Jesus said in Matthew 28 is he told his disciples, go into all the world. Tell people the gospel. Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know, kind of maybe if we're not careful, we can kind of pull back and say, well, if we expound, what does go mean exactly? How can you go? You go. What does it mean to make disciples? You make disciples. And you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to read for you some verses on joy because my hope for everybody here present is in just a moment, when we go into our baptisms, I hope that you get to feel and experience the joy of the Lord. Because every time we do this, it's just overwhelming to me. And I hope you're blessed by it. I want to start by reading you from Psalm 5, starting with verse 11. This is what is said. David says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever." Rejoice! Sing joyful praises forever. "Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love." And I'm guilty of this. But when we sing Are we rejoicing? Are we just kind of, Are we just kind of mouthing the words or maybe reading them? Are we rejoicing? You see, so much we have to remember. If you are a person of faith in Jesus Christ, you have to remember that you have won the war. Now, you're still in a battle, but the war is won. And in that, you can find joy. If you've got your Bibles and you turn to Psalm 5, turn ahead to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, it says this, "Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." This is a good affirmation psalm. Goes on to say, verse 9, "No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Do you know that if you're in Jesus Christ, you have been given eternal life in paradise? Do you know that? Do you let that sink in on a regular basis? Do you know that if you are a Christian, you have won the greatest Powerball lottery that has ever existed in all time? Do you know that? Sometimes I wish Christians would act more like they knew that. Sometimes I wish they would. And I wish that we would act like we have found joy. I wish. Some of the most unhappy people you ever meet call themselves Christians. I don't get it. I understand that a lot of us have come through some hard times, and we have battles and things that we struggle with. I get all that, and I know that grace and love and mercy and all these things should abound, but somewhere in the midst of all of that, I hope that you can find joy. You've won. You've won. And it's not just for now. It's forever. And sometimes I think if Christians would just walk around, we've been doing this whole series on Joshua, this idea of victorious living. If we would just realize what we've been given, oh, the joy that would abound. And I think that the Bible is good for giving us that perspective. I'm going to keep this going. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's jump to the book of Luke. I'm going to walk you right through it. Luke 15, starting with verse 1. If you're ever struggling with finding joy or what you should be doing as Christians, turn to Luke 15. Read the whole chapter. I'm going to only read half of it for you. Luke 15. So if we understand, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. It's funny to me how even as a church, our mission to seek, invite, and welcome people into the unconditional love of God and share with them the good news about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This is our mission. We get a lot of criticism for it. I guess how you do that is subjective. But the point is that you do it. The point is that you do it. And so even Jesus, as he met with people and he talked with people, the religious people had issues with the way that he did it. They had issues with Jesus. He goes on, so then he tells a parable. He says, so Jesus told him this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't stayed away. I've told you as we've gone through our sermon series, we talk a little bit about the tabernacle. That is it's a shadow of heaven, of worship in heaven. When we come together on Sunday mornings and we worship like this, we are participating in some sense with the church. And we are all coming together and we are worshiping together. And we are in a way kind of plugging into the worship in heaven. And we experience joy. We experience joy. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, loses one, won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search it carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she'll call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Joy. Plugging into joy. These are the words of Jesus. And I want to end with John 15 as I read some more words of Jesus here. John 15, starting with verse 9. And I want you to hear this for you. Okay, so I think it's, again, we talk a lot here at The Way about how we tend to make Bible people or Bible things, like things over there. And the key is to take those things and bring them here, right? So when Jesus says, "I have loved you," he's talking to you. When he says those words, so verse 9, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." Your joy will overflow. You will be filled with his joy. Can I just say something real quick? Can we just get real honest here for a second? It's just us, right? Nobody else is listening. Can we decide, everybody in this room decide that we're going to keep our sourpuss face, Christian faces in our pockets, and let's reflect joy? Think about that the next time you're out. I don't know whether you're at work, whether you're out somewhere. Have you ever stopped to think about what people are seeing when they're looking at you? Now, if you're hurting and you're in a hard place, you should be getting support and prayer and love. So, you know. But if you're just kind of at a place in life where you're doing life, how about you reflect some joy? And if you don't know how to reflect joy, perhaps you ponder in what Jesus did for you and what you've received. And maybe, just maybe, rejoice because he's doing it in others. And make that important to you. He says, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I have appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Now go. You're not here because you deserved it. You're here because I love you. I mean, these are the words of the Lord. We didn't earn it. Jesus did. We don't deserve it. Jesus is full of grace. This is just a bizarre gift to us. When we talk about the unconditional love of God, That's a foreign concept to us because our love is conditional. But not God's. And if we're real honest, we should be thankful for that because I needed his unconditional love. I needed it. And I think that a reflection of joy and love is unconditional and full of grace. So what I want you to see as we come here today, I want you to be observing the love of God. And again, here at The Way, we embrace the entire gambit of baptism. We embrace the covenantal theology of infant baptism. I call it paedo-baptism, whatever your education level is. We embrace that. And the reason why we embrace it is because the parents, the believer parents of a child, are children of God. And as I ask everybody that I interview, all the parents, I say, if you're a child of God, what does it make your child? And the answer is special. The Bible refers to the children of believers as holy. And so we are celebrating generational grace, generational salvation. And we as a church, when we baptize babies, we are inviting those babies into our Christian fellowship, hoping and praying and coaching them so that hopefully someday they'll be born again and they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and profess him publicly as their Lord and Savior. That's why we do what we do. And so we see that beautiful picture. Other cases, we're doing immersions here today. And you're going to see people going into the water, which for a believer baptism, which will be preceded by a profession of faith, what you're seeing is you're seeing a symbol of an inward, it's an outward symbol of an inward reality. So this is what the Holy Spirit has done in the life of believers. Cleansed us of our sins. So you see the people going in the water. People go into the water backwards because it symbolizes dying to yourself and coming out of the water, being raised in Christ. This is the life of a true believer. And so we rejoice in that. And we have multiple people that are going to be participating in it here today. So what we're going to go into it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. And then if the families of the children that are being baptized would come forward, that'd be great. So would you join me in prayer, please? Again, Father God, we just thank you so much. I'm just so grateful that we get to participate in this work of yours. Lord, I'm blessed because I get to feel your love for these families. And I know it pales in comparison to how much you truly love them. I get to feel your love for these children. And my prayer is that everybody here can look upon the participants up here in just a moment and see them with just an ounce of the love that you have for your people. Lord, it's a wonderful thing when families come and they celebrate the work that you've done faithfully in their families for multi-generations. So bless us, Lord. And even as we go into the time of immersion baptism, Lord, what a wonderful thing that is as well. Lord, people professing you as their Lord and Savior, people participating in baptism in such a way that just is a reflection of the work that you've done. So Lord, we thank you. And we pray, Lord, that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and Lord, that you would rejoice. At what you see, that this would bless you as much as it does us. We pray this all in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. These are days that I live for. You know, I love the baptisms, and it's precious and it's powerful. But you know, at the end, when all the friends and family come up and lay hands. You know, it's a collective effort. God works through all of us. And I just hope that for everybody here today, regardless of what situation you're in life, I hope you found a little more to find joy in. You've won. Jesus Christ won the war. And when we are in Christ, we are victorious. And as you leave here today, I know the enemy wants you to forget that. The enemy wants you to lose heart and give up. But you've won. And you can be filled with joy. So I just pray. I know that a lot of friends and family will be going out for dinner and celebrating the baptism and continuing all this. And just praise the Lord for what he does and his faithfulness. Would you all please stand as I bless you and receive this as we dismiss you here today. I pray that as you go knowing the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day and a great week.